Welcome to another inspirational message from the traditional service at Bethany Assembly of God in Agawam, Massachusetts. It's our prayer that this message from Pastor Richard Adams will encourage and bless you.
Every once in a while, the Lord will speak to my heart. Maybe he does it for some of you, but maybe you don't step out and take a shot at it and maybe become a risk taker. But I really feel like there may be some people here. I'm not going to ask you to come forward, but I'm going to ask you to stand up in a moment. But you're here today and you have a skin ailment. I don't know what that means. That's the only thing that came to me. It's a skin ailment, whether it's something people can see or whether nobody can see it, but it bothers you. It's a skin ailment and you've tried a lot of things and it's been giving you some real difficulties. But I believe that the Lord, just because he told me that, I believe the Lord wants to release at this particular moment healing in your body so that not only will it begin to be healed, but perhaps maybe it'll even be a miracle. You'll be healed instantly. But if you're here today and you have a skin ailment, I don't even know what that means. But if you have one, stand to your feet. Several people, stand to your feet. You have a skin ailment, but you want God to touch it. And I'm believing at this very moment, Lord, that your Holy Spirit has brought this into this congregation to bring healing. So from this moment on, this skin ailment, I curse it in the name of Jesus, not through any power of my own, but through the blood of Jesus and through his stripes. I pray healing would flow through these that are suffering from this ailment within the skin that has caused them irritation, that has caused them difficulties. It has even caused them to stay home sometime because of the difficulties of it. But today, I pray that they be free in Jesus' name. Free in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Now, I'm believing that God's going to do more and more of that, not only through myself, but through the pastoral staff, through yourself. As you're speaking with people, the Holy Spirit is going to begin to speak to our hearts, begin to release these words of healing and wisdom that can come. And I know that that's part of the thing that happens in the end of days, that God's going to minister in special ways through the power of his Spirit. Now, I really brought this message I wanted to bring to you about Pentecost Sunday, because I believe that God has something special for this congregation and for the resources that we need to do what God wants us to do. He's asking us and he's showing us the best way to do this. And I know that if you ever saw Schindler's List, at the end of that movie, he's got a gold ring and he takes it off and he looks and he said, I could have saved one more. I could have saved one more. So the resources that all of us have, sometimes we waste them, and I'm just as guilty as anybody. But I believe that God's going to use this Pentecost to bring about the great outpouring and the moving and the witness that God wants this church to be, the key witnessing focus in this community. Can you say amen to that? I want to talk a little bit of this morning with the time that I have left about peace. Now, peace doesn't come from external influences. Sometimes people think that peace comes from a vacation in the Bahamas. No, there's nothing wrong with a vacation in the Bahamas, but that's not where peace comes from. And sometimes we think, well, if you've got all this peace, we shouldn't be concerned for other people. But the truth is, the peace we have in our heart, we still should be concerned about others that are in the midst of a battle. We should still have this concern, though we have peace. Being spiritual doesn't mean we don't take interest in the challenges, the physical challenges that other people have. People are facing many difficulties, and today, though you may have peace in your heart, they're struggling sometimes, and we should have that compassion. We have peace because we know that no matter what battle we face, no matter what battle that anybody else faces, greater is he that is in us than he that's in the world. That's why we have that kind of peace. It's because of who he is. We don't rest on our own self-assurance. We rest on God's assurance. Romans 16 and 20, Paul says, the peace, this God of peace, will soon crush Satan under your feet. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. He is wreaking havoc in the world, but it will not be that much longer. Jesus is coming quickly. In all the battles or wars, we understand that authority is vital for victory. It's important to understand the authority that you have in Christ Jesus. Authority is not forcing your will upon someone else either. That's not what authority is. Authority is establishing peace and direction wherever you are. You're a peacemaker, and that's what the authority God has given to you. I know in Vietnam, we're talking about the things that soldiers do and what they have given their life for today, tomorrow being Memorial Day. In Vietnam, in an offensive battle, we all came to a briefing before we actually went into the battle. Even though we battled from the air and we flew to the ground and carried resources, there was always a briefing. And someone was always assigned the authority to coordinate the operation. There was always a coordinator. He was in charge. We maybe had 11 helicopters that were flying in missions, but there was one person that was always in control. In the midst of the battle, how many of you know you do not need chaos? You need peace. And when we maintain peace in the midst of a spiritual war, it's a crushing blow to the satanic opposition and the fear that he wants to glue into our being. Satan loves us to be influenced by fear rather than faith. Victory in a spiritual war never comes from our intelligence. Victory in a spiritual war never comes from our emotions. Victory comes from our spirit. That's where victory comes from. We don't make decisions by what our eyes see, what our ears hear, but in trust in the promises of God as the Holy Spirit brings them to us. Who has believed our report is what the Isaiah said. So it comes from the interior, from our spirit. We have never had complete victory until we believe God's report. When you believe God's report, you can have victory. When you have authority over something, you can look at it without fear, without worry, because there is peace, and that peace is the proof of your victory over every situation. That's why Jesus says, I give you my peace. Not the peace the world gives, but my kind of peace that gives you victory over the enemy, victory over every circumstance. Jesus didn't fight against the storm that took place in the sea. He didn't fear it. He faced it. And he just simply said, peace. It's that peace that God speaks to our hearts that brings victory in our life. Satan hopes that his weapons of fear, worry, doubt, self-pity will rob us of our peace. A good indicator of where the enemy will attack you is where you don't have peace. The area that you have no peace, you'll find that the enemy will come and he will make a foothold in your life. Lord, give me more peace. Can you say amen to that? Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 28, in no way alarmed by your opponents. What does that mean? That simply means you have peace. You're not alarmed by the enemy. You're not alarmed by what anyone will do. You're not alarmed when things begin to happen. It doesn't take you by surprise. There's no alarm. There's no fear in your life. And that is a sign of destruction for them. In other words, when the enemy sees the peace in your life, he recognizes that Jesus is inside you. He recognizes that he's finished. There's nothing that he can do. He says, but of salvation for you, and that too from God. Your peace is a sign that you're positioned correctly in God. And that peace has you where you need to be. Your peace indicates that you're submitted to the will of God at that particular moment. Even under attack, the peace that you have reveals that you have authority over your attacker. I like that. I mean, even a big bruising guy that comes up and he wants to give you a good smack, you can just go, take your best shot. You know, I've got peace. You're going to swing and it's going to be a miss. Even if he hits you, it doesn't matter. I still got peace because I can look at what Jesus took. And he had great peace. Peace is a sign that the enemy is defeated in your life, that you have great joy. We know we have spiritual authority when we have peace in spite of our circumstances, in spite of what we're going through, because we have a confidence in our God. We know who he is. We don't fall for the propaganda of the enemy because he's a liar. Jesus didn't confront the devil with emotions. He simply refused to be influenced by any voice but God's. Only God's voice. His peace overwhelmed the enemy. His authority shattered the lies. There is a place of walking with God where you fear no evil. That's what the psalmist said. We all know that one, 23:4. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. David had faced lions, bears, giants, but he stood in the very shadow of death. Yet his trust in God sustained him. He said, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And I love the next verse, because the next verse in verse number 5, he says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Now, we're Pentecostals. Anybody that prepares a table for us, that's good. I mean, I love that. Somebody invites you to come over for a table, and they prepare this table. It's wonderful. It's lovely. So the battle that you're in, if you look at it as though it's a meal prepared for you. Now, I can't quite grasp that that's what he's saying. You're preparing a table before me in the presence of my enemy. In the midst of this battle, you're preparing a meal for me. From this spiritual battle, you will nourish me. From this spiritual battle, you will build me up. I will become stronger than I was before because you're preparing this meal for me. Awesome. Unless you have God's peace, you will never react to a battle as though you're sitting down to a wonderful meal. But when you have that peace in your heart, you recognize that God is going to stir up and nourish you. The Lord is never worried, never in a hurry. Revelation 4:6 tells us that before the throne, there was what looked like a sea of glass, clear as crystal. No ripples, no worries, no anxiety. The sea around the throne of God is perfectly still and totally calm. Every victory we have comes when we are seated with Him in that place of peace. In Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 6, God raised up Christ Jesus and He seated us with Him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus. And in those heavenly realms, there is peace. And we're seated with Him. The devil's not afraid of me, he's not afraid of you, but the devil is afraid of Christ in us. He is. And when that peace comes out, he is the Prince of Peace. The devil is so fearful when we have this peace in our life. No matter what the circumstances, the devil trembles. That's the reason why the Holy Spirit teaches us that worship is our first response in a spiritual battle. The first response when we go through a battle is to worship the Lord, because God inhabits the praises of His people and the peace of God is there in the midst of that worship. So we see worship. We position ourselves in the presence of God and we rest in Him and we acknowledge that Jesus has already made our enemies His footstool and they're already defeated in Christ Jesus. We may still be in the battle, but we know what happens in the end. And we have this wonderful peace in our life. Just like rest precedes rule, peace always precedes power. We do not seek to rule over our enemies until we are submitted to God's rule over us. When God rules over us, we have this wonderful peace in our life. To be prepared for great victories, we need a greater revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ and who He is in us. When we begin to understand what God has done in our life and who Christ Jesus is in us, that revelation gives us victory. It's interesting that when the Father chose the name for the Son of God, He chose the name Jesus. And Jesus is the Greek equivalent to the Hebrew name Joshua. Joshua was the greatest general to lead the Israelites in warfare, the greatest general. In the last moments of time, we know that Jesus will be revealed as a holy warrior dressed for battle. That's the revelation of Christ. He's coming as a holy warrior. In Joshua chapter 5, verse 13, now when Joshua was near Jericho, he looked up and he saw a man standing in front of him with a drawn sword in his hand. And Joshua went up to him and asked, are you for us or are you for our enemies? I want you to know this, that just before a real move of God, people begin to wonder, is the Lord for us or is the Lord against us? Just before the end of time, when things really begin to ratchet up and we're going to see a marvelous move of God, you're going to find people asking that question. It's almost as though things get so intense, things become so different than we're used to, we begin to wonder, is this really the Lord? Is this really something the Lord wants us to do? We've learned to trust the Lord in certain ways. All of us have. But now it seems that the Lord stands before the church with a sword drawn in his hand. He's coming as a warrior. He's coming again. Sometimes we sit in the service, it seems as if his sword is aimed straight at our heart. You talk about money, Pastor, and that sword passes right through my heart. As soon as you mention it, something rises up within us. Because the Word of God is piercing, dividing soul and spirit, discerning the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Before the sword of the Spirit can come out of your mouth, it has to penetrate your heart. It has to penetrate your heart before it can come out of your mouth. God has to confront the strongholds in our lives before we can take the sword of the Spirit and use it against the enemy. Otherwise, the enemy knows all the back doors and all the holes and tricks and everywhere he can. God is going to raise up an army of believers unlike anything we have ever seen, anything we have ever known before. There's no doubt about it. And the raging actions of Satan in the last days must be completely countered by the manifestation of a warrior Christ. It's a person that has peace, but he knows that he's in a battle. And he has peace because he knows the end of the battle, but he's still in the battle. Don't withdraw or be terrified when Jesus is unveiled, perhaps in a way that you've never seen him unveiled before. Jesus is coming in a different way. We sing about the blood, we see the cross, we sing about all the sacrifice that Jesus has done. But he's coming as a warrior. And the Holy Spirit is coming with a power. And currently, the church in the West has been pampered. Not so in other countries. But we've been pampered. We're undisciplined in the art of warfare. We don't really understand it well. But that's about to change. Hallelujah! It's about to change. Isaiah 42:13. The Lord will march out like a mighty man, like a warrior. He will stir up his zeal with a shout. He will raise the battle cry and will triumph over his enemies. We know that Jesus as a Savior. We know Jesus as a shepherd. But the approaching apocalypse, the events that take place will reveal a different Jesus to us. Be of good cheer. This fierce warrior king with a drawn sword and with a shout of war upon his lips is the same Jesus that died on the cross for you and for me. It's the same Jesus. Many people might not be ready for this revelation. Our perception will be shaken and our fears confronted, just like Joshua's were. Joshua had stood in the presence of the Lord. He knew him in the tabernacle. He knew him when he walked with Moses. But before him stood a new revelation of the Christ. The Lord himself had come to lead his people into war. The people of Israel throughout history had defeated enemies that far outnumbered them. Deuteronomy 9, verses 1 and 3. Hear, O Israel, you are now about to cross the Jordan to go and dispose nations greater, stronger than you, with large cities that have walls up to the sky. The people are strong and tall, Anakites. You know about them, and you've heard it said, who can stand up against the Anakites? But be sure today that the Lord your God is the one who goes across ahead of you like a devouring fire. He will destroy them. He will subdue them before you, and you will drive them out and annihilate them quickly as the Lord has promised to you. Hallelujah. He promises a victory. Even though Joshua was alarmed, both he and the people of Israel, they were prepared for war. The wilderness experience was a time of preparation. It was a time of learning obedience. It was a time of lining up with the decrees of God. So our wilderness experience is always a time of preparation to see whether we'll line up with God's decrees, to see whether we will line up with what God commands. You and I have watched in fear as we have seen divisions take place in families. We see divisions that take place in relationships. We even see divisions in the church. But we have not stumbled. I said, we have not stumbled. We have watched it, but we have not stumbled over this disobedience. We've learned from them. We have learned that we must be united together in this battle. We've been tested. Now God is preparing to release a fresh revelation of the Lord as he did in Joshua. Joshua 5, 14 and 15. And he said, nay, but as a captain of the host of the Lord am I now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and he did worship. And he said to him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord of hosts said to Joshua, loose thy shoe from off of thy foot, for the place wherein thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. Holy ground. Be careful criticizing what we don't understand. Be cautious in these last days. Don't be quick to deny the promises that the Lord has said, but hold to them strongly, because this is the word that God has spoken to his people. He says we will go forth as a warrior with him, that he will raise a war cry, and he will prevail against his enemies. God is raising up a generation for battle. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. In every service, we give an opportunity for people to receive Christ. We just came through a wonderful four nights of services with the Hubbards, and several people found the Lord. But I never know who's in an audience. So you're here today, and the Holy Spirit just spoke to your heart. It was like a piercing knife that went into your heart, and you say, with all honesty before people, I'm not sure that I'm prepared to meet the Lord. I'm not positive that all my sins have been forgiven. If that's you, I want to ask you to do one thing. That's it today, just one thing, to acknowledge the fact that you need Jesus in your life and that you haven't committed yourself to him like you know you should. And to do that, I'm just going to ask you to do one thing. And don't worry about the people around you. Jesus said that any man who professes me before men, I'll profess him before my Father, which is in heaven, which is simply means that the gate is open. When you come to the gate to heaven, when you got Jesus in your heart, the Father will say, who is this? And Jesus says, don't worry, he accepted me as his Lord and Savior. So then the Father accepts you and you come into heaven and you find your way into the kingdom of heaven for eternity. But it all comes from asking Jesus to forgive you. It all comes from recognizing what he did for you on the cross, that he took your sins and they were nailed to the cross. And now forgiveness is yours simply by asking him to come into your life. Now I said all that, but I'm here just to say, if you feel in your heart that you need to stand and acknowledge Jesus, that is a way of humbling yourself. Humbling yourself before men. Don't be worried about what they think. Worried about what God is speaking to your heart today. If you know you need to ask Christ to come into your life and forgive you, you may have done this before, but this is your moment. You need Jesus. Be man or woman enough just simply to stand up on this day and say, I need Jesus in my life. Anybody here? Courage enough to stand? Thank you, ma'am. Anybody here? Thank you again. Thank you again. Thank you again. Thank you for your courage. Let's pray this prayer together. Lord Jesus, I do open my heart. I believe that you died for me, that you are God, that you rose from the dead. So I ask you to forgive me of my sins, to come into my life. I recognize that you are my God and Savior and my soon coming King. I love you today, Lord. Help me to follow you. In Jesus' name, amen. Stand with me as Pastor Ken leads us in a chorus. And if you ask Jesus and you'd like to pick up a book that we have for you called Following Christ, we have that available. Pastor Ken.
I want to be more like you.
Because there are times in all of our life when we will face difficulties and challenges. But you may be facing a crisis, a difficulty in your life today. And I just want to ask you to do one thing today. If you really are facing these kinds of challenges, this message is especially for you now. We all face them at one time. But if you're facing them today, I just want you to do one simple thing. Just simply, as you raise your hand, say, Lord, I need your peace. I need your peace, Lord, in the midst of this circumstances I'm going through. And I acknowledge today that you are the peace in my life. And I need this peace in the midst of circumstances that I'm facing, difficulties I'm going through, my loved ones are going through. And I ask you, Lord, fill me with this peace of God. And I acknowledge that I need you more and more in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Have a great day, Memorial Day. Eat plenty of hot dogs and hamburgers.
Hope you were inspired by this message from God's Word. If you were, would you take a moment to rate and review this podcast? That will help us better be able to reach more people with this important message. For more information about Bethany Assembly of God or how to have a relationship with God, visit www.bethany-ag.org.